The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decision.
Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network, helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth.
Hey, welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Show. I'm John Walker from the Cordasco Financial Network team. Going to dive into a topic that we know is really important around this time of year. Certainly, as the holidays are fast approaching, unfortunately, it as joyous as that often is in the celebrations, we also see a heightened prevalence of fraud. And as people are doing their holiday shopping and they're doing things online and they're in that joyous spirit, sometimes they are more susceptible and less attuned to some of the risks that they are taking or the threat that exists as far as their security, particularly their cybersecurity. So we get a lot of questions about this from the folks that we help, and we know it's a really important topic, and certainly keeping yourself and your identity and your financial information safe is of the utmost importance. So today, we're blessed to be joined by Anthony Mongeluzzo, who is the president of PCS, who, for full disclosure, is our Cordasco Financial Network partner in keeping information to the people that we help safe. And so he's going to join us today to really share his insight and from his experience in the world of keeping folks safe, what he's seen and how real this threat really is. And a little later in the program, Evan Salter, who is on my team here at Cordasco, is going to share some really good best practices and tips that we recommend to the people that we help. And Evan's on our team on the cyber side and helps keep the folks that we help safe internally. So without further ado, Anthony, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again. I know you've helped us in the past in sharing your insight into how real this threat is. Certainly, I think, unfortunately, as I said, you know, people are not as attuned to it. I think they get, you know, into the holiday spirit and forget just how real this threat can be, right?
Well, what happens, too, is I don't think people forget how real the threat is. They just say, oh, that's going to happen to the other person. That's not going to happen
to
me.
So true.
And when it happens to you, you feel your stomach hit the ground.
And so I'm sure you've seen countless examples of this. And I know, unfortunately, it can be really catastrophic if something does happen to you, right?
It's scary. I mean, you know, I've seen instances where you know, cyber criminals have basically taken over someone's life. They've ruined their credit scores. They transfer money from their bank accounts. They had driver's licenses with their picture, not your picture, their picture.
Wow.
So the threat is definitely real. And unfortunately, everyone thinks of it as more of, oh, they hacked my computer, or, you know, the guy in the background that didn't sleep for 20 hours sweating in front of a keyboard. You know, why that does happen? The real weakness is human beings. It's people.
So what do you mean by that? I think that, you know, I think you're right, right? And even the media portrays it as, you know, it's that hacking farm in Iran that's hacking into our computers. It's really, well, that does certainly, I'm sure, happen. There's a different threat that people aren't always aware of.
Yeah, realistically, I mean, we're involved in, you know, helping to protect our clients. And one of the ways that we protect our clients is we get to play the bad guys, right? We get to try to break in. We try to break into their network, break into their office. And, you know, lots of times there's updates. Someone didn't update their iOS, or maybe their firewall has an out-of-date firmware with a known security issue. But that would take a whole lot of work. It's much easier to send someone a spam email, get them to click a link, give us their password, tell them they had a UPS shipment go to the wrong location. I mean, tricking people and social engineering is by far the number one way that we're able to get into our clients and show them their risk. The risk is the people.
So tell me a little bit more about that. I want to get into that a little bit more because we certainly see it. You know, we have our own internal processes to make sure that we're not, you know, clicking on the wrong email, or that we're not putting spyware or malicious software into our own network. But it's really easy to make mistake, right? It's really simple for things to get masked.
Oh, well, I'm going to show you. Here's what I'll do. I'm going to give you a real-life example, okay?
This that sounds
about
great.
Two and a half years ago, right? And, you know, one of the things we like to talk about is how we could basically use a business card. You give me your business card, I could hack into your business. Now, this business in particular is an international business. So, you know, good sophistication, lots of IT staff, chief security officer on staff. And remember, most businesses listen in here, and most people don't have all those resources, right? So basically what we did was, we'll start with the business card. They engaged us, so this was illegal, white hat, ethical hacking, and they wanted to be protected. So get the business card and create a fake Gmail account, email the person, hey, quick question, do you have any job openings? Person writes back, no, we don't right now, but you know, we'll keep you in mind. Well, when that person wrote me back, the first thing they did was they gave me their email signature, right? So I now have from their business card, you know, their physical address, their email format. So for instance, you know, most companies are first initial, last name, right? So now I have the email format, all that stuff. So next I go on their LinkedIn. LinkedIn is basically Facebook for adults. It now gives me an organizational chart. I know who the HR person is, who the IT people are, and then I got their full names on LinkedIn. So basically, now that I know their email format, first initial, last name, at that company name, I basically build an email list, right? So easy enough. Now, let's say you go to you go online, and I'll just use our software vendor. It's ConnectWise. Well, it's spelled ConnectWise. Well, I'll just go by ConnectWise with 3Ns.com, right? So now I got your logo, I got your email format, your email signature, and by the way, your website's public. So now for $12, I set up a GoDaddy account. I duplicate this website with one extra letter in the domain name up at the top. From there, now I send an email link to all the people in the office. I said, hey, everyone, this is Anthony from IT. Listen, as you guys know, cybersecurity is an utmost concern, and we need to protect ourselves. Our insurance people are coming in. And they want you to take this password strength test. So click this link. It'll let you know if you need to change your password. If there's any questions at all, you could reach Nancy over at HR. Call her at her desk, right?
Using the right name, the right person.
I'm using the right name, the right person. Now, if someone actually looked at my email address, it would be ConnectWise with 3 N's instead of 2. So it's technically the wrong email address. But nobody's going to look at that because my email signature's perfect, my names are perfect, my reference is perfect, and they're a big company, right?
And they probably don't have the time. They're busy, and our eyes deceive us there anyway, right?
No,
oftentimes, you don't even see it.
Check with Nancy. You're not going to check with Nancy. You must have to do it. Why am I going to call Nancy and ask her why I got to click this link?
Right.
So then what happens is they click the link. It goes to the website that's one letter off. So if you're looking quickly, you're not going to see that third N. By the way, it looks exactly like your website because your website's public. I just duplicated it. And all it says is, thanks so much for participating in our password strength test. Please input your password here. If your password's not strong enough, we will email you instructions and, you know, we'll get this corrected right away. About 20% of the executive management team gave us their passwords.
Wow.
So from there, we also did a couple other tricks. These guys wanted full blown. So on their website, they had how their camera systems work and how their doors, like they had videos basically showing their process. So we knew when their doors opened and closed because that was public domain. You know, their logo was nice. They had great pictures of all their people with their shirts. So what did we do? We went to the shirt guy.
Lord.
Yeah, we just printed the shirts just how they made them, literally walked into the building, and then we put wireless sniffing devices all around. We plugged into their network, put sniffers to get their cell phones, and basically at that point, we just took over an international company simply by two things, LinkedIn, a T-shirt, and walking in the door.
That is so scary. And for the folks listening at home, I can't imagine that you're not feeling the same way I am, which is, holy moly, like, it's that simple if you are savvy and know what you're doing. And what you've described, obviously, you need some technical skill to be able to mirror a website and come up with some of the things that you guys did. But it's not hacking you from the basement in an encrypted server room in Siberia, right? It's not that.
But let's look at this. Let's look at human nature and human kindness, right? So this is a really recent one. This is about 2 months ago. A CPA firm out west, they know us. We speak at some of the conferences and things like that. They wanted us to do a penetration test, right? So we're like, okay, no problem. So what we did was we went to their office and I rented a car. All we did was park it kind of crooked in one of the parking spots and left our blinkers on for about 45 minutes. Knocked on the door and said, hey, you know, we're so sorry. Our car broke down. We're waiting for AAA. I hate to ask this. I'm embarrassed. Do you mind if I use your restroom? Person's like, oh, my God. No, I'm so sorry to hear that. Go ahead. Go use the restroom. So very nice, but one cardinal mistake. They didn't follow us to the restroom, so we implanted the same devices to any open network ports, thanked them for use of the bathroom. 20 minutes later, the car magically just fixed itself and drove away. And then later that night, we grabbed all their stuff.
Wow. And so, like you said, you know, preying on the kindness of the person who, innocently enough, was trying to do the right thing and thought they were for you and unintentionally allowed you into their entire computer network.
Yeah, so look, let the person use your bathroom, but follow them door to door.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm not saying don't be hospitable, but, you know, would you let a stranger just walk around your house unattended? It's really the same thing. Your office is your home, and, you know, God knows, you know, how many people have papers on their desk. And, you know, ironically enough, if someone steals a printed piece of paper with confidential information off your desk, that doesn't hit your general insurance policy. That's cyber. That's data. It's a caveat.
Wow. And so for the sake of the folks listening, you're telling some really scary stories, and maybe that doesn't touch them. If they're a business owner, it could dramatically impact them. But on the personal side, right, the lesson is still the same. It's the same lessons that you learn from this experience.
Yeah, and I'll give you a personal experience. My mom, kind of scary. Thank God she knows that I go on TV and talk about this.
She knows a guy, right?
She would have been tricked. She was done, right? So her printer at the house had a hardware failure. It was, you know, $90 HP printer or whatever, and something was mechanically wrong with it. So she went online, typed HP support. Well, she calls HP support, and the guy's like, "Oh yeah, I could fix this problem. Hold on, I got to put this piece of software on your system." So my mom's like, "Well, it's a hardware thing." He's like, no, well, I'll check it with the software. She starts to let him go through it, and then for some reason, she's like, "Hey, hold on one second." She calls the office here. I happen not to be here, and she tells one of my team members what's going on. They're like, "No." So literally, she Googled HP, a scam 800 number came up, and they would have put ransomware in our system.
Wow.
They would have either stolen her data, or they would have, you know, encrypted it at the very least and asked for a ransom. So, you know, on the personal side, you're never going to get a call from the IRS. You're never going to get a call from Microsoft saying that your computer's sending out viruses. You know, that's how they're really going to attack you. Email for the personal side is huge. You know, anything, it's FUD, right? It's like the stock market, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. If anyone tells you you gotta move fast or they got your password, which, did you guys see that one, the email that comes to you with your old LinkedIn password?
No.
This was a good one. So this has been going on for a while. Ironically enough, I got sent to myself yesterday. This affects everyone. Home use, just, I'm not even going to say business or individual. It affects you as a person, right? So what will happen is LinkedIn was hacked, I want to say, 7 years ago. Well, these hackers sat on these passwords, and so many people don't change their passwords. You might randomly, and anyone listening, might get an email with the subject line saying your password is, and it's your password. It's an old password that you used on LinkedIn. So if you didn't change it, that's kind of scary, right?
Absolutely.
Now, the email is one or two things, both kind of graphic. I'll give you the clean version. The one version of the email says, "We know you're cheating on your spouse, and we have proof. Please send us this kind of Bitcoin, this amount of Bitcoin, to this Bitcoin address, and this will be our little secret, and it'll go away." The second one says that they used a remote desktop procedure, and they hacked into your computer and got your camera, and they have a side-by-side of you watching adult websites plus the video of you. And they say in parentheses, "By the way, you have great taste."
Wow.
So I've gotten more calls about people freaking out because it is an actual password that you used. Now, when I got the email, I laughed because I changed my passwords quite a bit. I'm like, man, you know, I was a lot younger when I had that password.
Yeah, that was 6 years ago.
It was a long time ago. So that continues to make its rounds. And I can't tell you how many people called me like, "And I'm not cheating on my wife, but I'm kind of scared."
but I don't want her to hear this anyway because it's not true.
Right. And so the one guy's laughing that had called me. And he's like, "Oh, my God, I don't know how they got me." He's like, "Man, you know, I went to some of those sites. And I obviously won't even say a first name." I'm like, "You don't have a web camera." He's like, "Oh,
you don't have
yeah.
to worry. This couldn't possibly be true."
Yeah, I mean, they would be some pretty amazing hackers if they could do that.
Amazing. And so I think the broad point is it's a real, credible threat. The fear is palpable. People do know it could happen to them. And the stories you just shared with us, it can be really scary if it were real.
Yeah, and even it gets more sophisticated. So what these hackers do, and this affects every individual, and this happened to my friend Mike, unfortunately. He lost 12 grand. He's still trying to get the money back. I don't see how he's going to. He was getting ready. His son was getting ready to buy a home. He gave him $12,000 as a down payment, good father. And the day before settlement, from the attorney, he said, "Hey, we're all on for tomorrow. Just be advised that the wire information changed. Here's the new wire information. Wire the money there." So he does, and by the way, this is 100% the attorney's real email address. It's not the trick I did earlier with an extra letter. It's 100%. So they wire the money. They all show up at settlement. And they're like, oh, where's the 12 grand? Like, what are you talking about? I wired it last night. It's like, no, you didn't. They said, yeah, here's the form. They're like, that's the wrong account number. Guy pulls up the email. The attorney's like, I didn't send that email.
Wow.
What happened was a hacker tricked him and was basically sitting in the attorney's emails waiting for the right time to strike. And what the hacker was actually doing, immediately when the email would come in, he would delete it and then delete it from trash, send the new one, then delete it from the sent items from trash. So the lawyer couldn't even go through his phone or his computer to see those emails were there, yet to forensically see that they were deleted.
Wow.
So there was literally, I'm going to call the guy a creep, right? This hacker sitting in the guy's email, reading everything he's doing, and literally struck right before settlement. And it was, you know,
just waiting for the right
password.
Time.
And he scored.
Wow. And I have some banking experience. Once that happens, it's almost impossible to get those funds back. Once the wire's set. If it's cleared,
exactly. It's
out. It's gone.
Yeah. On the individual level, you're really in trouble. On the business side, it's getting so crazy. I've seen some insurance companies actually offer, you know, protection up to $50,000 or $100,000 for wire fraud, but it's going to cost you a pretty penny to get that because, you know, it's you could say it happened every day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. From when I was in the banking world, it's very difficult. You know, we obviously there are safeguards in place in their space as well, but it's challenging if you get a directive from your client to send a wire and they have the correct wire instructions and it's valid. You kind of have to go through with it, right? So,
oh yeah, and I'm sure there's going to be lawyers out there making one pagers, you know, indemnifying the bank, and you know, I mean, technically the bank's not at fault. You
right.
told me to wire this money.
I did exactly what you told me to do.
I'm sorry if it went to the wrong place, but how am I supposed to know
Absolutely.
That it's, you know, some hacker somewhere? Because it's, you know, a lot of times they're all U.S. local-based accounts. It's, you know, it's a big mule scheme. They all just move the money around, and 24 hours later,
it's gone.
You know, it's in Nigeria, and the prince is happy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and so, wow, for the folks listening, Anthony just shared some real life stories, real experiences that they've helped folks with and that they've seen. And so, you know, the advice is there, you really do need to be aware of this. It really needs to be on your radar. And I think you'll agree that this time of year, as the holidays approach, is really when sort of this activity ramps up a little bit.
Yep. And, you know, you have to watch, you know, and remember the retailers out there, you know, Cyber Monday, Black Friday, basically this is a good way for them to get a nice database. You know, I always suggest to people this time of year when you're going to do your holiday purchases, set up a temporary Gmail account or something that you'll just use for those purchases. So one, all the spam mail and all that stuff just goes there. Secondly, you might want to get yourself a low limit credit card, right? In case one of the sites you buy something off of, you know, gets hacked, right? Not everyone's going to buy everything off of Amazon or Walmart. You know, you might buy off a local retailer that might not have the same security in place. So if you have a separate credit card just for your, you know, your holiday purchases, it's an easy way for you to audit yourself and, you know, not give the hackers, you know, unlimited to maybe your main credit card, which has a little more access, or, you know, your debit card, which another thing you want to watch with your shopping, because someone duplicates your debit card, they could just go right to the ATMs and start taking your cash.
Start taking
out.
Your so actual cash,
have,
yeah.
Yeah, at least you have protection with the credit cards.
Yeah, some really, really helpful tips. Anthony, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all of this. I mean, some great information, some real life stories of how credible this threat is and how it really can impact individuals, business owners, and how, you know, unfortunately, how simple sometimes it can be.
Yeah, and it's only unfortunately, I mean, not to be a Chicken Little here, it's only going to get worse. You know, the attacks are getting more sophisticated. Who would ever thought, you know, 10 years ago that someone could put a piece of software and hold your files ransom? And it's just scary.
It is scary stuff, and that's why folks need experts like you and why we leverage you and your team to support our team here at Cordasco to help keep the people we help safe and as sophisticated as they get. I know you guys keep pace and stay ahead of them, so we appreciate that. The folks we help appreciate that, and I certainly thank you again for coming on and sharing this with the folks that are listening. Thanks so much. And now let me welcome to the show Evan Salter from the Cordasco Financial Network team. Evan is one of the folks here that helps support our technology and helps keep the folks we help safe. Evan, welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring you on because I know, and I'm hoping you'll share, you do this for a living. You're certainly an expert in security and these types of things. And even despite that, you've had your own experience with identity theft and cyber, you know, attack.
Absolutely. And as Anthony explained, John, I mean, this stuff can happen to anybody sometimes, no matter how protective you can be. And I did end up having my my identity stolen, so I know firsthand how the bad end of this can go.
And it was, I remember, it was a beyond just the shock of it and the scary part of it, it was a total pain in the neck for you.
It's just a headache. I mean, it was hours and hours of phone calls, calling financial institutions and credit bureaus and filing an identity theft report.
And thankfully, you were able to mitigate the damage, right? Nothing really significant happened, but because you had the right steps in place and because you knew what you were doing and you were monitoring and looking for it. But do you know how it happened?
No, I still don't know how it happened. It could have gotten taken from one of the big hacks from other Equifax or Capital One that happened recently. It could have been something that happened in one of the scenarios that Anthony laid out. I mean, there's really lots of scenarios on how it could have happened, but we really don't know how it did.
But at the end of the day, thankfully, you kind of knew what to do and were able to get through it. But even without that, it was hours, as you mentioned, of countless hours of work to fix it. And so, you know, thankfully the damage is limited, but still a huge stressor and a huge, just a rigmarole to deal with. And so, you know, I really wanted to have you on because we share a lot of best practices and some tips that we have learned over the years with the folks that we help. And we thought it'd be really helpful to share with our listeners things that they should be thinking about, especially now as we approach the holiday season, of how they can better protect themselves from this type of threat.
Absolutely. And John, I like to lump these tips into three categories, and you already touched on one, and that's protecting yourself. So
what goes into that?
So first thing with a lot of the cybersecurity stuff, make sure your passwords are secure. Make sure they're complex and they're not something simple like your birthday or your name or your pet. Make sure it's something complex that nobody would be able to guess, and make sure that you change it frequently.
Okay.
That's a big one.
That's probably the simplest one, right? And there's, I'm sure there's other stuff that goes into that, right? Anthony touched on a few. Don't click on links you don't know. You know, watch where you're keeping things, right? And I mean, he mentioned threats that are real, right? No one's going to call you from Social Security. No one's going to call you from your wherever. And I think one of the things you shared with me was if someone does call you and you're not comfortable, there's things you can do, right?
That's right. So, John, you're jumping into the being vigilant section.
Okay.
And I think this is one of the most important sections and the one that Anthony touched on the most is people can just get tricked into a lot of these things. So the biggest thing that I see is being mindful of what you click on social media, being mindful of what you click on emails. If you click a link, first make sure you know who it's coming from. If you don't, maybe think twice about clicking that link. Or if you do end up clicking it, check the address of the website it takes you to, because there's a good chance, if it is a scam, that address might not be what the website is, even if the website looks like
what
you're
expecting. Anthony just said, look for that extra N, right?
Exactly.
Like they did. You got to look for the little anomalies that don't look right.
Mm-hmm. And staying under this being mindful section, be mindful of the information that you give out over the phone. If you're not expecting a call from your bank and maybe they're asking for information, you might want to call the number back. Maybe look up the number of the bank online, maybe call the representative that you usually speak with and call them back directly. If it's a legitimate company, they're going to have no problem with you calling back and giving the information.
That's a great point. I mean, when I was in the banking world, even if we did call someone, if they said, you know, and it was one of the things that we would do to verify when people incoming called, right? To help prevent some of the things that say, you know what, call us here at the office. I'm going to call you at the home number we have. I'm going to call you at your office. That way we know it's actually you that's calling us, or it's actually in return, as you're saying. No legitimate business is going to say, no, you got to stay on with me right now. They're going to say, yeah, call me back at the office. No problem.
Absolutely, John.
Yeah. And Ev, I mean, I think we've talked about some things. You've given some great advice around things that people can do to protect themselves. You've certainly given some thoughts around how they can be vigilant. But you mentioned in the beginning that they can also monitor this, right?
Monitoring stuff is just as important, John. And in my situation now, I have to monitor my credit for the rest of my life going forward.
Absolutely. And part of your vigilance and monitoring actually helped catch this before it became a big problem.
Absolutely.
And so what should folks be thinking about doing?
So one thing that I would recommend would be to use some kind of credit monitoring service like Credit Karma or even LifeLock if you have had a situation where you did have your identity stolen.
What do they do for folks?
So most importantly, it will let you know every line of credit you have open in your name. And in my scenario, they didn't get the bank accounts that I have, but they opened new accounts in my name.
Ah, so this will keep folks from being able to leverage your name and credit and social security number to create their own identity.
That's correct. So something like this will tip you off. If you see a new account open that you didn't open, that's a big red flag and gives you something to look into and to start running with.
Got it. Anything else that they should be thinking about?
Another thing going along with the whole credit score is get a free credit report each year. You can get three total, one from each of the big credit unions.
So you got TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. Annually, and not a lot of people know this, you are allowed, eligible for free, to get a copy of your credit report.
Absolutely.
Right?
So you can get three total per year.
And so high likelihood, if you're looking at those, and maybe it's a great thing to do at the end of the year or is maybe a part of your spring cleaning for your finances, you check up on this thing and you just make sure, maybe something there, it might, you know, if there's something there that doesn't look right, it's a good opportunity to explore it and maybe take care of it and certainly make sure that everything looks like things that you did.
Absolutely. And one other thing, jumping back to being vigilant, if you get a credit report in the mail that you didn't order, that's another red flag.
Huge red flag, right? Because anytime you open a new credit facility, you know, there's disclosures that have to come out. So if something came to your house and you have no idea what it is, that's a huge red flag for you. And we covered a lot of ground today and, you know, a lot of important information. But before I let you go, can we boil it down to just some really important, simple best practices, some tips we can share, just so that we really capture what's really going to help keep people safe as the holidays approach?
Absolutely, John. And the big takeaway is for people to remember, protect, monitor, and stay vigilant. Protect yourself. Make sure your passwords are up to date. Make sure you have backups. Make sure you have antivirus. Make sure that your technology is protected the best way that you can. Monitor your credit. Make sure everything checks out with that. Monitor all your accounts and make sure everything checks out with that. And be vigilant for any kind of scams on social media, on your email, any phone calls you're getting. Just stay vigilant for people trying to scam you.
Evan, I really appreciate you joining us today. Really good advice. We really want to make sure that the folks listening, hopefully you take what we're saying and take it to heart and are really careful. Unfortunately, we want you to enjoy and celebrate the holiday season and not be stressing out and anxious over this. But the threat is real, as Anthony shared with us, as Evan has shared with us. And there are some things you can do to really protect yourself. So Evan, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, John.
And so if what Evan and I talked about today and what you heard from any of us really resonated with you, if you have questions, if there's things you're worried about, or if you want to get from us what these best practices are, we'd love to hear from you. Please reach out to us. Send us an email at asksteve@cfnplan.com or give us a call at 215-558-3500. Thanks for listening to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm John Walker. Have a great week.
If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.